got a special prayer request tonight. Rita and I have a granddaughter who lives up in Colorado Springs. That's Jana. And Jana is married to a boy by the name of Clayton Mortensen. And Clay is a pitcher for the Colorado Rockies. And he was up there pitching the other day, and he threw one of his fastballs like that, you know, and that thing went across the plate at about 92 miles an hour, something like that, you know, they're pretty fast. And this guy at the plate drew back his bat, and he hit that ball just as hard as he could, and it's what they call a line drive. It went right straight back to Clay's glove, and when it hit it, it broke his finger. When a pitcher, baseball pitcher, breaks a finger on his pitching hand, they put him on the sick list. He's going to be out for a little while. He's got his finger in a splint and all such as that. So anyway, put him on your prayer list. But also, Clay is from up in Idaho in the Mormon country, and his mom and daddy and his generations, I guess, was raised Mormons. And as you know, the Mormons don't believe exactly like we do. And sometimes we wonder if they're saved or not, because they don't believe, you know, like we do, that Jesus died for our sins, that he was the Son of God, and all of this. They're kind of off a little bit on their doctrine. So wouldn't hurt you to pray for him for his salvation, that he'd come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. That would be nice, you know. We like to look after our families, don't we? Well, he married into mine, and now that makes him a part of my family, and I'm concerned about the old boy. Want him to know Jesus. Want him to go to heaven when he dies. That's what it's all about. Anyway, it's good to be here tonight. I didn't get to talk to Abel this afternoon. He got sick during our service this morning and left. And then and a few minutes later, Dolores got up and went out, and they didn't come back. And, you know, he's having some problems. He's got all sorts of things wrong with him. Abel was one of these Vietnam vets, and he was out there in the jungles on the front line, and he got all of that Agent Orange stuff dumped on him and such as that, and he's got cancer and a whole bunch of other things wrong with him. And one of the things that got him in the hospital last week was the fact that his blood pressure started going down. Now, he's on blood pressure medication, but his blood pressure got to going down, and they checked it out, and it was about, 70 over 37, I think it was. And boy, that's getting pretty low. It's dangerously low. And so he's been back and forth between the doctors and all such as this, and they're working on him to get his blood pressure regulated. So keep him in your prayers. Also now, I'm looking forward to Gene and Barbara getting back. They seem like they've been gone forever. This coming Wednesday, he goes back to the doctor, and he's supposed to get, I guess, the stitches out of his foot, and maybe they'll let him start walking again. It's hard for a man to have to lay with his foot up over his head and heart for 3 weeks. That's a long time. And so his 3 weeks are nearly up, and we're looking forward to him and Barbara coming back with us in our services. And where's John tonight?
Well, he's sleeping, Pastor. He's tired. He overworked.
He overworked himself. I figured he did that. Yeah. All right. He's on our prayer list. Let's keep him on our prayer list. That's good. And I think that I told you last maybe this morning I might have announced it, about my nephew John. I got on Facebook this afternoon and sent him a little message. Haven't gotten a reply yet, but to let him know that this is funny. On Facebook, you know, everybody reads that stuff, I guess. And I told him, I said, John, I said, I had the same operation back in, I think it was 1980 or someplace back in there. And I told him, I says, I didn't know that it was in the family genes or anything, or that it was contagious, or I wouldn't have kissed you. That'll get John. He's a great big old guy, runs a concrete plant down there in Texas. But of course, back then, he was just a little baby, you know. I could have kissed him with immunity. Anyway, we have to have our fun as we go along too, don't we?
Remember, 9-11-8-9-1-1.
All right. Now, tonight, we've got a special speaker for us all the way from Oregon. And his back is still hurting him from the trip, he said. So we're going to ask Brother Bryant to come tonight and preach for us, and I know you'll enjoy it. Brother Bryant, God bless you, sir.
Is that all in the pastor?
Thank you. You bet it is. Good. We're going to make a tape of this so you can listen to it at home. There you go.
Yeah, that trip took all the way from Baker City, Oregon, 9:30 in the morning, down to Mampa, Idaho. From Mampa, Idaho, then Monday morning to Salt Lake City. My ticket said then from Salt Lake City to San Diego. So the plane backed off, and I'm in this plane. There's about half full or so, and we're going. Where do you think we went? Albuquerque, New Mexico. Now, I don't know how far Albuquerque, New Mexico is from San Diego, but I sat in that thing. And, you know, they don't feed you. Peanuts, pretzel, and maybe some orange juice or apple juice. I got the apple juice and some kind of soft drink, you know, or something like that.
You've been eating fresh fish all week anyway. You should complain.
Yeah, we had fish. We had a good trip. But I noticed something when I come back to church. Great miracle has taken place here. This lemon tree's got orange apples. Ooh, that's a mighty miracle. We're talking about miracles. I remind the story of Amos was driving down the street, and he was wobbling like this. So Constable Billy Locke pulled him over. He said, Amos, he said, you been doing it again? Oh, no, no, Constable, oh, no. He said, well, wait a minute, what's that bottle laying there beside you? He says, that's water. That's water. Constable Billy Locke, he said, let me see that bottle. So Amos handed it up to him. He took the cork off of it, smelled the smell. He says, Amos, he says, that's not water. That's alcohol. That's wine. Amos said, Lord, have mercy, he's done it again. Miracles do happen, don't they? We're glad we're here with you again. The trip to Oregon and Idaho was over my birthday. I had a birthday. I was going. They gave a good birthday party for me. All my grandbabies down in the Idaho area, Sunday morning. And they had two big donuts, you know. And they put those two big donuts together right there in front of me. And they put 78, 70 and 1, 81 and 1. And those kids just jumped up and down. Now, these are my great-great-grandbabies. There's nine of them in there in this family, see. There's seven of them were adopted. They're Indians. And I mean, they are Indians, too. They're a tribe. But they said, no, 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 turn those around. He is 87. So they turned him around at 87, and that's the truth. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't believe it at all. I met a grandpa. By the way, let's talk about grandpa. Do you know what today is? Today is National Grandparents Day. Now, we've had all the humbabaloo about, 9/11 and this sort of thing. And that's wonderful. But really, all you that are grandparents, take a bow. Come on, God bless you. We are recognized on this day. Went to church up there. I guess it's church. I was in a rock church. Now, my grandson is Christian. They are looking for a church, and they went to this rock church. It's close by. They're not members of it. Thank God for that. I mean, this rock did rock. I come away very empty. I was empty because this is where my grandchildren are going, and they are not teaching gospel. They had two things the pastor preached on: prayer and praise. Prayer and praise. Praise God and pray. Praise God and pray. He had good scripture for it, but he never one time mentioned that Jesus saves and asked anybody in that church to come forward and trust Christ as Savior. And I'm not happy that my grandchildren are in that church. So that evening, while we were having our evening dinner at the table, nine of them, and my sister, my daughter, and my son-in-law, and all the family there, I stood up and I told them that I was very interested in all of my family before I pass out of this world, that they become Christians. That they might know that Jesus is Savior and Lord. That he went to Calvary's cross to save them through his blood atonement. The washing of the blood of Jesus Christ. So the scripture teaches that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Savior, cleanses from all sin. And that's what brought up this message that I have for you tonight. Who are we? Who are we? We're Christians. We're Christians. In Acts chapter 26, here's text here. This Acts chapter 26, the Apostle Paul was speaking to Agrippa, the king. Paul gave him an exhortation on his conversion why he was a prisoner being before him. Because he preached the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when it was all said and done in verse 27, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? Paul said, I know that thou believest. There was a testimony. There was something about King Agrippa that Paul realized that King Agrippa was mighty close. And then King Agrippa said unto Paul in verse 28, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. People, we have got a lot of people that are almost. There are people who declare themselves to be Christian that know nothing about Christian, and that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. Who are we? We're Christians. Acts chapter 11 and verse 26 says that at Antioch, which is the church that Paul started, at Antioch they were first called Christians. Now Christians means Christ-like, a Christ-like people. Now you and I know that we cannot even begin to add up to Christ-like. But it is a goal out there set for us to strive for it.
Amen.
Christ's people are disciples. This means that they're learners, they're followers of Christ. And if this preacher up there, and I don't want to find fault, but I'm concerned because my young people are in that church. And if they stay there, they're not going to get saved because he doesn't believe in it. He doesn't preach Christ crucified, buried, and raised again the third day for the justification of all mankind.
Amen.
And I talked to my grandson about that. And he said, Grandpa, he said, we're not going to really stay there. He says, we don't have anywhere else to go, but we're looking. And I said, well, keep looking. Now, I've been preaching in the Northwest, Pacific Northwest for many years. I had a lot of churches up there I preached in with the Agents of God chart. And I know that there's some good gospel churches up there, so I'm looking to help him find one. All right, let's get on with the message tonight. So we are also called, not only Christians, we are also called the sons of God. This is who we are. We're not strangers. We're not aliens anymore. We were strangers unto the gospel. We were alien in the sight of God. But not anymore. We Christians are the sons of God. 1 John chapter 12. Says, he came into his own, which is the Jews. This is talking about Jesus. He came into his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power, who were not, but now can be, the sons of God, that they might know him. He gave them the power to become the sons of God, to them that believe. And again, it is a belief. And because they're sons of God, then they are not alien or they are not cast out from God. Eternally, we're saved forever. Once a child of God is born into the family of God, we're saved. Become the sons of God. Romans chapter 8. Verses 14 through 17. You want to take a look at it? Romans chapter 8, Romans 8, verse 14. For as many
as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We're adopted sons. And ladies, don't feel bad, because your daughters of the Lord also. Sons and daughters, that's what that means. As Christians. As Christ-like. For the Spirit, now my Bible says itself, but that's wrong. That should be himself. The Spirit is not an it. No. The Spirit is a person. A part of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the triune Godhead. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You sit out there right now without a shadow of a doubt, knowing that you are a Christian, you're a child of God, you're a son of God, and you're heaven bound. Amen?
Amen.
That's what we believe, and that's where we stand, and we will stand there. Without a shadow of a doubt. At least you ought to. 1 John chapter 5 says, this is the record that God's given to us, eternal life, and this life is in the Son. And he that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. And it goes on to say this, these things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. If there's any one of you in here tonight that walk out of here, I want you to know, and this pastor wants you to know, and this church wants you to know, that you may know that you're a child of God. You're a son of God. You're a Christian. Born again of the Spirit. And headed for heaven, and nothing in the world or nothing in the coming world can stop it.
Amen.
Jesus said, I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish.
Amen.
I like that. My hope is built on nothing less than what? Jesus' blood and righteousness. Oh, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing. Nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And if children, verse 17, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Wow. What is in heaven? What is in Christ that you're going to inherit? Hebrews chapter 1 says that God hath given all things into the hands of Jesus, the Christ. All things. And therefore, if we be joint heirs with Jesus Christ, we are joint heirs to everything that God hath given to him. We're in the family of God. We're the sons of God. I tell my sons and my daughters when they come to my house, you are of my family. The refrigerator's open. Don't go get what you want.
Amen.
I think heaven's just a little bit like that. We're joint heirs. We're not servants. In that sense, we're servants here, I believe. We're servants here to serve Christ in the community, in the church, in the family. There, we are sons of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ to the throne. What does it say? Of Christ. To be that, so that we might suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Pastor talked about suffering. I think it was this morning, wasn't it, Pastor? Suffering. Now we have our father also, Adam.
I believe when God breathed into Adam the breath of life, that breath has been passed on to Cain and Abel, passed on to the generations of them, and you and I have the breath of God through the power of the Holy Spirit, born again. Passed on to Adam. Adam is the son, or Noah, I'm sorry, what was it? Oh, Noah is the son of Adam. And Noah, in his day, the floods came, and what happened? You know what happened. Every soul was lost except those three sons of him, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And every one of you sitting in here tonight came out of that boat in one fashion or another, in the loins of Noah. We came out, though, dead in trespasses and sin. Ephesians chapter 2, verse, we're saved, we're dead. Without Christ, we're dead in trespasses and sin. And therefore, Christ made it possible for you and I to walk out of sin into salvation through the redemption that he wrought on Calvary's cross for you and me. Sinful, fallen humans coming out of darkness into his marvelous light. Coming from an appointment to hell to the appointment of the eternal salvation and life. Even Pastor said this morning from 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's go there for just a moment. And I come back. Inheritance, verse 4 of Peter 1. Incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away. Those are good words. It is an inheritance. Incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away. That means it's based on Christ and joint heirs with Christ. We have this access to this. The fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. It's already there, already married there. Kept by the power of God. I worked in a hotel as a young man before I went in the Navy. And we'd have those people call in and they would make a reservation. Maybe 5 days, maybe a week or 2 weeks. They'd make a reservation. And that reservation better be there when they get there. Especially these salespeople and so forth were coming in. We got a reservation made in heaven for you and for me and for every one of us. Kept by the power of God.
Amen.
Kept by the power of God. You don't have to worry about it. You just have to rest in that blessed hope. Rest in that blessed hope that it's there, it's ready, it's going to be there. And when you get there, what did Jesus say? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I told you, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Reservation kept by the power of God. We're also the seed of Abraham. Galatians chapter 3. Spoke to that very subject. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, 26, 27, 28, and 29. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, for ye are. Who are you? Who are we? You're the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And that's the only way you can become a faith, become a child of God, or a son of God, or a Christian. For ye're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. You know, what does he mean by faith in Christ Jesus? Yeah, he was on the earth. A lot of people believe in Jesus. That's not enough, beloved. To believe in Jesus Christ means to believe that he is the Christ, the Messiah.
Amen.
Secondly, to believe in Jesus Christ, he is the Savior. Not only that, you must believe that he died for you, that his blood cleanses you from your sin, that you are born again through the finished work of the redemption work on Calvary's cross. This is what a Christian is. This is who you and I are. We're sons of God, we're Christians, but we're the children of God, but we are that because of Jesus Christ and not because of any other thing or any other Christian religion or any works of righteousness. The hope we have. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And that is not water baptism. No. Baptized into Christ, let me give you the Greek word, which is baptizo, and it means baptized into Christ, or baptizo, or immersed into Christ. Water baptism doesn't save. Water baptism doesn't put you in Christ. Water baptism is a picture of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ, buried in the likeness of his death and raised up in the likeness of his resurrection.
Amen.
This is the work of the Holy Spirit here, baptized into Christ. Born again. There is neither Jew nor Greek. Now watch this. Your human tradition, old family, doesn't get you into heaven. Well, my grandma was a heaven. My mama was a Christian. My grandpa was a Christian. My mama was a Christian. So I'm a Christian. No. No. They personally had to make their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and so do you. There's neither Jew nor Greek, which is Gentile. There's neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. Talking about those in Christ now. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. All one. And if ye be Christ, if ye be, that's the question. If ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed. And if you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Remember that word heirs again. According to the promise. What was the promise to Abraham? You all know it. I'll bless you and I'll bless them that bless you. I'll make you a blessing. I'll make a great nation out of you. And you know what, beloved? The Christian nation is a great nation.
Amen.
All of the Abraham seed. We all come together. And the seed of Abraham, if you want to really put it down to what it really is Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Amen.
And we in him inherit the seed of Abraham. Who are we? We're also the church. The church at Chula Vista. There's a church at Antioch. There was a church at Corinth. There was a church at Ephesus.
Church of Philippi, Church of Galatia. These are all churches. Revelation speaks of the seven churches of Asia Minor. The church at Ephesus, church at Pergamos, so forth. Smyrna. Or the church at Chula Vista. Now there might be other churches in Chula Vista also, but they're part of, if they're in Christ, they are the seed of Abraham, then they are like we are. The preacher and I know that we've got churches that are not like we are. But we wish they were. One reason I'm in this church is because of the faith and the trust and the preaching and the dedication and the separation and the doctrine of this pastor. Amen. And this people. I would not stay in this church if I could not agree with what our pastor teaches and preaches, and neither would you. I would never cause a trouble. I'd walk out the back door and forget about it. But we're the church, the ecclesia, the called out assembly, called. And then something else. I firmly believe that God adds to the church such as should be saved. I believe that God adds to the church those that maybe be saved and have left other churches because of the problems in the church, contrary to the doctrine. That's why I'm here. I'm privileged to have an opportunity to serve the Lord again at my age. I do have trouble. I do not see too good. And you know I don't hear very good. Poor Brother John sits right here. I sit right there. Brother John prays. I can't understand what he says. I put my hearing aid in. I talk to Wayne. Wayne can't hear either. But we get along. And it's very embarrassing. After pastoring some 52 years, building churches for the Lord, church planting. When my people would speak to me from back in there, and I couldn't hear what they said. It was a lack of communications, and it caused problems because they say one thing, I didn't hear it. Consequently, they think I weren't listening or I didn't care. And first thing you know, it had a little problem. So I decided it's best to, I stepped down from the pastorate. That don't mean I can stop preaching.
Amen. Amen.
Or teaching or sharing the good news of Christ. For the ecclesia, the called out assembly, Matthew chapter 16. Jesus said, I'll build my church. And this is his church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We're the bride of Christ. We got a wedding feast we're going to. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 through 8. Revelation 21, 9 through 10 and 11. It's a city that's prepared for God. And that city is our eternal dwelling place. Huge satellite called the New Jerusalem. 1,500 miles square and 1,500 miles high, coming down from God out of heaven, as adorned with his bride. And by the way, you are the bride. Who are you? Who are we? We're the bride of Christ. We're going to have a marriage feast we're going to. When we get to heaven, we're going to have a glorious time. We're going to sit down to the table in heaven and enjoy and fellowship with all those that have gone before us and those that are gathered at the coming of Christ together. It's a prepared city. John chapter 14. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 and 26 says, declares that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might, notice it said her, that's verse 25 of Ephesians, or 1 Corinthians. No, it's Ephesians. Okay, Ephesians, yeah, 25, 26. He loved and gave himself for her. The church is feminine. That he might sanctify, that's set apart, and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word. That he might present her to himself, a glorious church. Ecclesia, called out assembly, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. When we get there, beloved, we will be perfectly holy and without blemish. For he washed us with the word. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom ye have from God, and ye are not your own, but for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God's. That's simple, isn't it? What's hard about that? Since we have the Holy Spirit who can energize us, unction from on high, that we might praise him and honor him and glorify him and him alone.
Amen.
We're not here to lift one another up. We're here to one another to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, to edify one another. But we're not going to lift somebody up. We're going to lift up Jesus, especially from this pulpit. Not only are we then the bride of Christ, Pastor spoke on it this morning from 1 Peter. Let me just refer to it again. I won't need to go into it because he did a grand job of this morning in speaking on 1 Peter. Chapter 2, verse 9, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. And believe me, from what the world is today, we sure are a peculiar bunch. I'm so glad that I'm different. But it's the truth of the business is, the scripture says, if anyone be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation, a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And they do. How our life changed. Someday I'll give you my testimony on how, what happened when I was saved and what God did with me and a great change. I was 30 years of age before I was saved. I'll tell you about it sometime. That time's one. Well, lastly, Revelation chapter 1, verse 4 through 8. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace be unto you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood, verse 6, and has made us, who are you? Who are we? Kings and priests unto our God.
Amen.
Boy, now. You know, I used to tell people when I went to churches and preached on, I'm just a nobody telling everybody about somebody who loves everybody and his name is Jesus. But you know, in essence, that's true. But again, God has made us a peculiar people. Made us kings and priests unto our God. To him, this is Jesus, be glory and dominion forever and ever, amen. Behold, he cometh in cloud, and every eye shall see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth shall mourn because of him. Even so, amen. That's the conclusion, isn't it? Who are we? We're the blood-washed, redeemed church awaiting the call to glory. Let me say that again. We are the blood-washed, redeemed church awaiting the call to glory. For the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. God bless you. Pastor. Aren't you glad you're a Christian?
Amen.
What are we? Who are we? Yeah. All right. That's wonderful. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight?
Amen.
We're glad that you're here. And I hope that you have a wonderful evening. Remember now, Wednesday night, we want you all to come out Wednesday night, because it'll be just like having a new church, because in the morning at 8 o'clock, they're going to throw a big tent over this whole building, and they're going to fill it up with deadly gas. It's going to kill all of the termites, and I don't know if it kills the spiders and bugs and ants and such as that. It probably will. So you don't have anything to worry about. And it'll be on here Tuesday, and Wednesday they'll come and take it down. It'll be down, and the church will be just like it is now. Hopefully, I got my fingers crossed, when we meet together Wednesday evening for our Bible study about David. We're studying David's life. Wonderful time. Glad that you came tonight. Let's stand together. We'll be dismissed in prayer. And as we look to the Lord in prayer, Brother Wayne, will you lead us, please, in our benediction?